with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for a favor of him beyond mortal king, and I'm sure that he'd grant it. I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven. Places of beauty we long to see here below, but time and treasures have kept us from making plans, as you know. But come the morning of the rapture, together we'll stand anew. While I stroll over heaven with you, I want to stroll over heaven with you some glad day, when all our troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. And turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. We've got a number of announcements this morning, and the first, which most of you probably already know, is that Pastor Sue and Jim have tested positive for COVID-19. So we ask that you would keep them in your prayers and also realize that that has caused a number of changes both in our service today and in activities throughout the week. For one, there will be no reading of the names as originally planned, and we will also not be having Holy Communion today. Pastor Sue does plan on doing those on November 15th. The harvest dinner, which was scheduled for Friday, has also been canceled. And along with that, there are several things. We have ordered a number of pies, if you would like to buy a pie that was originally scheduled for the harvest dinner, but if you would like to buy a pie, they are $10 a piece, and Karen will have those available here on Thursday, November 6th, from 10 to 12. And so if you want a pie, get in contact with her, and she can take care of you. Also, I think there are a number of people have already donated a variety of other things, and if you want to make arrangements with her about those, see her, and she will be able to help you with that. The pies, by the way, are being made by the Deckerville ladies. And we will also have available pie shells, if you are interested in those. And for details on all of that, get a hold of Karen, and she will. The pies are $10, and the shells are $2, and she can take care of you and deliver those on Friday from 10 to 12. Or Thursday, excuse me, Thursday from 10 to 12. Also, I'd like to let you know that the pop-up pantry for Sandusky is going to be held on Wednesday, November 4th at 10 a.m. at the Rescue Mission. And Jenny Strickler is asking for prayers for Mary Beth Terschuk because she was directly exposed to COVID. I'd like to also ask you to pray for my son, Jeff Frisbee, who underwent shoulder surgery Friday and is recovering from that. And if he is anything like his father, you should probably also pray for his girlfriend who's going to be attending to him and helping him during recovery, because we tend to not be the best patients. So I'd like to. And I've also been asked to review our mission statement and vision statement for the Sandusky United Methodist Church. Okay, we can do that. Do we have any birthdays today?
Clark According to our newsletter, we have two happening on next Saturday. That would be Marion Schiller and Jack Brock. And anniversaries. Tom and Bobby Frohner, also next Saturday.
And we have no piano player this morning, so you can hum to yourselves. Okay. Our vision statement is love, care, and share like Christ. And our mission statement is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We'll now have the lighting of the candles. And I would ask that you would please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship. Our praise songs this morning are How Great Is Our God and Shepherd Me, O God. Please join me in the call to worship. Today, as we gather to give thanks and praise to Almighty God, we especially lift our voices and praise in thanksgiving for all those who have gone before us to be at home with our Heavenly Father. Come, let us worship and join with others around the world in giving blessing and glory, thanksgiving and honor to our God forever and ever.
Will you pray with me for the invocation? Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your holy saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who sincerely love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you stand, if able, for the humming of our opening hymn, For All the Saints?
Forever.
We don't have any children in the sanctuary, but in case some are listening with their parents on the radio, for the children's message today, I'd like to share with something you've probably heard before, but it's a good reminder every year. It talks about being a Christian is like being a pumpkin. And this is certainly pumpkin season. You see, if you're a pumpkin, God picks you from the patch. God brings you in and washes off all the dirt. And then he cuts off your top and scoops off out all the yucky stuff from inside. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, and greed. And last, he carves you a new smiling face, and then he puts his light inside you to shine for all the world to see. Hopefully lots of you saw lots of grinning pumpkins on porches or in windows last night to shine for all to see the light of God. That ends my children's message for today.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 34, verses 1 through 10 and 22. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. May God add his blessings upon the reading of the word.
Will you pray with me? Our pastoral prayer is one printed for the All Saints Day. We give you thanks, O God, for all the saints who ever worshiped you, whether in brush arbors or cathedrals, weathered wooden churches or crumbling cement meeting houses, wherever your name was lifted and adored. We give you thanks, O God, for hands lifted in praise, manicured hands and hands stained with grease or soil, strong hands and those hands gnarled with age, holy hands used as wave offerings across the land. We thank you, God, for hard-working saints, whether hard-hatted or steel-booted, head ragged or aproned, blue-collared or three-piece suited. They left their mark on earth for you, for us, for our children to come. Thanks you, God, for the tremendous sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Bless the memories of your saints, God, that we may learn how to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. And now join me in the prayer taught to us by our Lord Jesus, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This week in our prayer time, we are praying for Jeff's barbershop. Our New Testament reading comes to us from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. They held back the earth's four winds so that no wind would blow against the earth, the sea, or any tree. I saw another angel coming up from the east, holding the seal of the living God, and he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given the power to damage the earth and the sea. He said, Don't damage the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have put a seal on the foreheads of those who serve our God. And then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 140,000 sealed from every tribe of the Israelites. From the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After this, I looked, and there was a great crowd and that no one could number. They were from every nation, tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. They cried out with a loud voice, Victory belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And my iPad isn't. Okay, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I had a rather interesting middle of the week this week. I had many teeth cleanings postponed because of the COVID issue. So my teeth hadn't been cleaned in over a year. And so I finally got an appointment on Monday to have my teeth cleaned. Yay, they feel much better. I know most of you know that feeling. But they also found something unexpected kind of in my lower right jaw that kind of had me concerned. And my first appointment dealing with that was Thursday at 11 o'clock. And because I'm diabetic, sometimes things that happen around new, I really have to kind of watch what I'm eating or whatever. So I thought I ate carefully. Came here at 10 o'clock for knitting, crocheting, and left at about 10:45 to go get this initial procedure done. I think maybe it was bothering me more than I thought it was, Because once I came off of that, I was feeling kind of funny when I left here, but I'd eaten an apple here to have something in my body to keep me upright, I thought, and went to the dental hygienist, and she asked how, you know, they always ask, how are you? And I said, I'm feeling kind of strange, and it's not like low blood sugar strange. And she took my blood pressure like they always do when you first sit in their chair. She says, you got low blood pressure. It's 94 right now, your top number. And I thought, well, no wonder I'm feeling strange. And generally, high blood pressure is my issue. And so she let me rest a while or whatever, and then did her procedure, which I don't think was as bad as what I was anticipating. But by the time I got out of her chair, I was still feeling a little funny, didn't feel like eating. And by the time I got home in my recliner, really started having a stomach ache. And I don't really get sick very often, not with issues that many people have. I don't generally get headaches. I don't generally get stomach aches. I couldn't think of how Cheerios and an apple could have given me a stomach ache, which is all I'd eaten so far, and had some tea. But it was kind of dozing in my chair. And I checked my phone, and I'd gotten a message that Pastor Sue had called twice. And so I returned her call. I could tell on... when she answered the phone, that it didn't sound much like a very well Pastor Sue. She sounded horrible. I think she felt equally horrible and was wondering if I would cover the service for her today. And just said, well, of course I would, and I'd do anything else I can to help you out. And she said, well, you know, that means Deckerville also. And I says, yeah, I guess that will be fine, having no idea where this is going to end up this time Sunday morning, but just glad that I was available on this Sunday and able to help our pastor out, who I so appreciate the ministry that she gives us. So I'm going to try and give you some ministry today. And then Mary, secretary, right away emailed me wondering if I wanted to redo the bulletin set up for communion in All Saints Day. And I said, no, I don't even have time to think that far ahead. We'll kind of go and adapt the service as we've been doing. Thank you for your cooperation. And as I looked at it, and the fact that Pastor Sue plans to do communion and the naming, reading of the names on November 15th, I thought, well, we can still do All Saints Sunday, because most of us don't know as much about it as we should or could or might want to or might not want to, but you're going to find out about it anyway. And so I decided I would focus kind of on this whole All Saints Day theme. But as I got into it and remembered kind of from my knowledge of it, it has kind of something to do with Halloween. And Halloween was last night, wasn't it? And so when I was looking information, the first thing I came across said, Halloween has become a very popular holiday on the cultural calendar. Right? And so I just thought I'd read to you some things that you might not know about Halloween, especially if you aren't on maybe Facebook or get the trivia stuff that I do. October 31st is Halloween. This fun holiday has ancient origins. It is one of the oldest holidays on the planet. You know, it's spooky, creepy, full of candy. But here are five things you might not know about Halloween. According to History.com, the Halloween we know can trace its roots back to the ancient Celtic end of the harvest festival of Samhain. That predates Christianity by quite a while. During Samhain, people would light bonfires, wear costumes, and ward off evils. Kind of sounds like what we kind of do, at least in fun on Halloween, doesn't it? In an effort to spread Christianity, Pope Gregory divided Samhain into two holidays: All Saints Day on the 1st of November, and All Souls Day on the 2nd New information for me. The evening of October 1 becomes All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween. Sandheim is still celebrated in a modern pagan and Wiccan communities as the equivalent of a New Year's holiday that also honors those who have passed on. But we don't see it as a New Year's holiday. Fact number two, trick-or-treating was put on hold during World War II. Trick-or-treating has been part of North American Halloween festivals since the early 20th century. But like so many aspects of this holiday, it evolved from an ancient European custom. On All Souls' Day, poor people would visit the house of their wealthier neighbors for a soul cake, a form of shortbread, in return for which the beggars promised to pray for the dead of the household. Known as souling, the practice was later taken up by children who would go from door to door asking for gifts such as food, candy, or money. Irish and Scottish communities in the United States revived the tradition, though it was put on hold for several years during World War II due to sugar rationing. How can you have candy without sugar? Third thing, jack-o'-lanterns scare off evil wandering spirits. Did you know that's what you do when you make those? Carved pumpkins are an old school tradition originating in Ireland, Scotland, and England, where people carved menacing faces into vegetables and placed a candle in to stay away from the evil wandering spirits. Kind of the opposite of the children's story I gave, isn't it? Using pumpkins is an American spin on the ritual. The first lanterns were made from hollowed out turnips. The fourth fact, the White House is said to have at least five ghosts. Some say spirits roam the White House. There have been several reports of ghostly appearances and eerie sounds inside the White House. The most common ghost sighting is of Abraham Lincoln, who has been spotted by First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, Queen Wilhelmina of Netherlands, and Sir Winston Churchill. Other ghostly figures include Andrew Jackson and Abigail Adams. And the final fact about Halloween you might know is the name Halloween is a condensed version of All Hallows' Eve. According to the Webster Dictionary, the name Halloween originally comes from All Hallows' Eve, the second night of a festival called Santan, dating back to the pagans in Ireland. Hallow comes from Old English adjective which means holy and eve and refers to the nighttime setting. All Hallows' Eve was also referred to as All Hallows' Even, which was shortened to Halloween by the 16th century. We eventually dropped the apostrophe and dash in the 18th century, and the rest is history. So, Halloween has become a popular holiday on our cultural calendar, as I said before. But how about the religious calendar? Well, beginning with the Middle Ages, and some of which was referred to in some of the facts I read, in the Middle Ages, All Hallows' Eve was only a religious observance. The word Halloween means evening of the Hallows. Hallows is simply an older English way of saying saints. So, evening of the saints, evening of the Hallows, same thing. But why evening? The ancient Jews understood the day, any day, as beginning with sunset rather than with sunrise. Just as we see in the beginning of Genesis, this one comes from Genesis, first chapter, verse 5. And it was evening, and it was morning, day one. And because the day begins with sunset, The first worship service of a given day would be the evening service. That really struck me, particularly when we think of, for me, what struck me is Christmas Eve and how special Christmas Eve is. But in my thought, it was the service to get us ready for Christmas Day. But this is telling us, no, it's the first worship of the Christmas season. Powerful for me. I found it very interesting. I guess, but that wouldn't hold true with Easter, because we don't have Easter Eve things. Because for us, in believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that happens Easter morning. So that's where Christianity and Judaism definitely differ as to where we see the day beginning. Put all together, and Halloween refers to the first service of worship for All Saints Day, November 1st in the Western Christian tradition, held on the evening of October 31st. Yeah. Many churches are today observing All Saints Day. This year, which is unusual, the day happens to fall on a Sunday. But All Saints Day is always November 1st, right after Halloween. And I tried to explain why. then I go back to here. But where or how did this observance get connected to jack-o'-lanterns, ghosts, things that go bump in the night, or trick-or-treating? That connection comes from popular festivals already happening in many cultures around the world, and definitely predating Christianity. Between solstice and equinox, sometimes referred to as cross-quarter days, many cultures understood that these transitional times where lines lie between realms may become the thinnest. And this is talking when we're talking about the equinox days, the one that doesn't happen exactly at the end of October. For us this year, it was October 23rd. The festival of Sandim fell at the cross-quarter day between autumn and winter, between warmth and cold, between harvest and dormancy for the earth, and so on, and metaphorically, between life and death. And so that's kind of how it all fits together. Christian missionaries and bishops, particularly in England and parts of Western Europe, had concerns that some of these practices and beliefs ran counter to Christian understanding of the resurrection of the dead. Beginning in the 8th century, the church added prayers to their Christian masses, that would be the Roman Catholic Church, remembering that the dead and anticipating their resurrection. These were some of the first prayers connected with celebrations later known as All Saints Day and All Souls Day. All Saints and All Souls was a distinction between prayers for the church for those the church had specifically designated saints because of their particularly holy lives, pointing directly to Christ at work in them, all saints, and prayers for all within the church who had died within the past year, all souls. So that's the one that comes on November 2nd. But as United Methodists observe All Saints today, since we have no official saints, that's not part of our theology, we combine All Saints and All Souls into a single observance. The celebration in the church accents our understanding of holiness of this life and our hope for resurrection in the age to come. Cultural celebrations and communities in which many of us live have continued to evolve alongside of church celebrations. Many churches offer safe alternatives to traditional door-to-door trick-or-treating. Others focus on things like trunk-or-treats, giving rather than receiving, collecting for UNICEF, or giving fair trade coffee chocolates, and other ideas for using the occasional treat to give others. These activities do not define or limit our witness and what it takes for holiness, becoming one of the hallows in this life. And our hope for the resurrection of the dead and the fullness of life are the new creation to come. And so again I say, many churches are observing All Saints Day. This year, it happens to fall on a Sunday. But All Saints Day is always celebrated, is always November 1st. And usually in the church community, we celebrate it on the first Sunday of November. Very rarely is it the actual day. This is a Sunday when Christians honor those who both in life and death were models of holiness and godly living. Would you like to be a saint? I know in one sense we are saints. The Apostle Paul describes Christians as saints in several of his letters to the churches he established. But would you like to be a real saint? Like one of those people who were so righteous, holy, and perfect? One problem for many of us might be the perception that saints were very dull and humorless people. St. John Chrysostom, who lived in the 4th century, thought laughing was inappropriate behavior for Christians. He said, "Laughter does not seem to be a sin, but it leads to sin." Oh, my. And many of you probably have seen the picture of the laughing Christ, which certainly wouldn't have come out of this era at all. Not everyone agreed with him. In the 12th century, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, founder of a monastic order, liked to laugh at some of his gloomy and serious monks. Once, when opening a new abbey in France, the monks found a huge swarm of pesky flies filling a church that was about to be filled with people to have it be dedicated. Bernard watched his monks swatting and shooing and coaxing those flies away, all to no avail. Finally, the head abbot fixed his eyes on the swarming flies and said solemnly and loudly declared, "I hereby excommunicate all of you." Bernard's monks laughed with him. And then, according to the legend, the next morning, they found hundreds of dead flies all over the floor. Yes, you can be a saint too, and you don't have to lose your sense of humor. You can be a saint, and you don't have to be grumpy or frumpy. You can be a saint with a smile. You can be a saint who is a servant, someone who helps and prays for others. When this happens, someone might say to you, "Why, dear, you are such a saint." And in your heart, you will smile and know that it is true, all to the glory of God and by his grace. Will you pray with me? Thank you for setting me aside to be holy. May my life attract others rather than repel them. May it be a channel for pouring out blessings upon blessings to others. Amen. Okay, we'll have the offering of the presentation of our tithes and offering at this time. And we'll. And gracious God, we thank you for life, for the life you've given us, for the spiritual gifts, the skills, the means to earn a living. We return to you just a token of what it means to us, that we may serve you all the days of our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some things are just hard not to sing along with, aren't they? Our closing hymn, I Sing a Song of the Saints of God. Gracious God, we've gathered to worship. We celebrated lives of saints and lives of ourselves. As we leave this place of worship, let us scatter to serve, remembering you in our lives daily. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. When I die. I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall